Yes, amen. Wonder if we could turn to the book of Romans, chapter 10. Just a couple of verses here. We're going to talk about the Word of God today. Well, every day we talk about the Word of God, don't we? The whole Bible is the Word of God. But I'm thinking of, in particular, I could read all the way from verse 8 down through 17, but I'll just pick a few of these verses because we're going to go on from here. Let's start at verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. And then the next verse is how that word brings us into salvation, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So it's the word stirring the heart, stirring the mouth to make the confession. Now, let's move on down to let's go down to 15 and we'll pick it up there. And how shall they preach except they be sent? Amen. Well, no, let's go back to 14. How shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. We're talking about the word now. Amen. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Okay, let's talk a little bit more. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. I just want to read one verse here. Matthew 4. And this is just one little verse that talks about the preaching of Jesus. This is after we see John preaching the message of baptism on with repentance. Baptism of repentance, amen. And by the way, that's the only true kind of baptism there is. Baptism of repentance. You can't, a newborn babies cannot repent. They don't even know they're sinners. Amen. So any kind of baptism that a newborn baby gets is just another sloshing of water. Amen. All right. And verse 17. Let's go back to 16. It says, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, you go through the whole gospel, you don't find him saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. But it says right here at the beginning of his ministry that that seems to have been the main theme of his preaching. All right, let's move along in the book of Matthew to chapter 13. And we're going to talk about the sowing of the seed of the word in the heart of the hearer. I guess we could say this is a parable. It says, and he spake in verse 3, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And he sowed. Now, what this means is he broadcast, he scattered. Did you ever try to do that? Did you ever try to broadcast seed? Well, they've got machinery now that does it. It's supposed to do it perfectly, you know, everything's planted perfectly. But I've been out already trying to sow things, and it's quite a trick to throw your hand out and scatter the seed just the right way so that everything gets filled and the seed goes in the right place. So here's the sower. He's going out and he's broadcasting the seed. I wonder if that's where they get the term with the radio, broadcasting, scattering out some kind of word, isn't it? Scattering out some kind of seed, spreading it out throughout great regions. Amen. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched and became, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell onto good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, when you find a statement like that, who has ears to hear, let him hear, we know that there's a spiritual message here. In other words, this is not just a lesson in agriculture. Okay? This is not crop growing 101 or anything like that. There's a spiritual lesson here. And the disciples heard this parable, and surely they must have thought, well, what is there to this? I mean, he's not just telling us how to plant oats or barley or something like that, is he? And so when he came up into the house with the disciples, they began to ask him. Let me read here. Let me pick up in verse 11 or 10. When the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? So we see that there's two different crowds here. Well, crowd. There's two different audiences. There's the audience of his disciples, and there's the audience of what should we call them? The masses, the great numbers out there who were listening to the parables. And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto them it is not given. Mysteries, mysteries, hidden truths, things that are hidden. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, how many times have you heard the word of God in certain aspects and you didn't understand what it was all about? And maybe years later, you heard the same message and all of a sudden it brought light to you. Suddenly you saw something that was hidden from your understanding a long time ago. You know, putting out the word, putting in our homes, let's talk about our homes, putting the seed of the word in our home among our children is very, very important. And let me say that children, even though they seem to be paying no attention whatsoever, are hearing the word. I don't know if you can go back into your childhood and remember the times that you heard the word of God and remember the word that you heard. Is there anybody here that can remember way back when you were 4 or 5 years old hearing the word of God? Am I the only one that has that memory? Well, maybe they didn't preach the word in your home when you were young. But I remember, well, first of all, my mother, I think I had a problem with anger when I was a kid. Somehow I used to have these little tantrums. Thank God, I think I've overcome them now. But she took a Bible verse and she wrote out the verse, "He that, how is it? He that ruleth his spirit is better than the mighty, is better than he that taketh cities," you know, that type of thing. She wrote it on the back of a big envelope, and she pasted it at the side of the cupboard. And when I'd get going like that, she'd grab me by the ear. I think it was this ear right here. And she would take me right over, and she'd put my nose right there on that verse, and she'd say, "Now, son, you read that verse to me." And I would read it. And she would say, "Son, you're going to learn to control that temper. You're going to learn to control that soul of yours. You're going to control those emotions of yours." And if it happened another week later that I would get angry about something, she'd do it again. And my ear, this ear probably got a little bit bigger than the other one because she kept stretching on it. All right, well, that was one occasion. Another occasion, and we're going to get into the next Jesus explaining what these mean, but I just want to tell you how important it is. Okay, my dad wasn't much of a preacher of the word, but my mom was. And but in the church, the mom sat on one side and the dad's on the other side. And when the boys got to be about, I don't know, 4 years old or so, then they had to go transfer over to the dad's side. And by then there was a little sister that got to sit by mom. So I transferred over to dad's side of the church. And by the way, I will say they preached the word of God, okay? Just preached the word, you know, didn't do a lot of expounding on it, but I mean, in particular, the word about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They would read it. They weren't against it. They weren't for it. They didn't know anything about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I'm sitting with my dad on the dad's side, and I remember the preacher, I believe it was Brother Elias. He got up and he began to read from the second chapter of Acts. Now, this is before I could read. And I think I began to read about age 5. So I must have been about 4. He began to read the second chapter of Acts about the when they were gathered together, 120 in the upper room. And when he started to read, something quickened in me, and I was delighted because suddenly I knew what he was going to say next. I was several words ahead of him, and I had it exactly. I had it just right according to the King James Bible. And I remember thinking to myself, "I've heard this word before. I know this word." So you see what happened is maybe when I was 3 years old, I don't know how young I was, maybe 2, I would hear this word and it went into my heart, it went into my soul, it went into my mind. And when I heard that word again, I said, "Oh, I know that word." Now, I didn't do anything about it at that time, except that there was life. There was a quickening of life in me as a 3, 4 year old, whatever I was. So, brethren, I'm saying, by the way, the word logos here is the Greek word. It's the written word. It's the living word. Amen. Not the rhema, but the logos. Now, there's nothing against the rhema word. But what we're talking about is the word. All right. Now, let us go to verse 18, I believe. And, well, let me go down to that point. Amen. And in they hear not, neither do they understand. So there are many people that hear and don't understand. Now, I might have been hearing, I probably wasn't understanding much, but at least I heard, and the word was in me. All right. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. Now remember, Jesus said to his disciples, for you it is given to understand the mysteries, the hidden truths of the kingdom of God. Many people out there do not understand, okay? For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. What is holding people back from hearing and seeing and understanding? Why can the mystery not break through to those? Amen. But blessed are your ears, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. All right. Now, he's quoting Isaiah. Isaiah gave these prophecies. But the suggestion here is that Isaiah may have given those words, but he didn't understand it all. Jeremiah may have given words, prophetic words, tremendous, powerful words, but he may not have understood it all. Moses may not have understood. David, the precious word that David spoke in the book of Psalms, did he really understand it all? Maybe he couldn't understand it all. Why? Because Jesus had not come to quicken that word and enlighten that word and give life into that word, that it might grow in our hearts, that it might produce fruit in our hearts. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. All right, now we're going to tell you what it means. All right. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one. Who is the wicked one? The devil, of course. And in the first reading of this parable, what did the wicked one, how, in what form was he represented? He was the birds, the fowls of the air that come to pick up the seed. Well, I don't know what it was. A couple years ago, I had a little, very little piece of property. Well, I actually had a big piece, but I took a small piece of that property. I went over it with a rototiller, and I said, I'm just going to see what it's like to plant oats. Now, I had no need for oats, but I think I got a couple pounds from one of the Amish farmers nearby, and I said, I just want to buy a couple pounds from you. They use it to feed their horses, of course. And so I went out and I broadcast. I'm going to see what it's like to be a broadcaster. And I threw it out, and scattered it. Thought I had it scattered. I thought, well, I guess that's all I need to do now, just scatter it out. And I went out the next day, and the blackbirds were out there cleaning it up. I think they had most of it. Well, I had a little left over and I thought, there isn't any seed left. It's all gone. So I went out and I broadcast it again. And this time I took a rake, what should we call it? A lawn rake, a leaf rake, you know, the kind you use to rake up leaves. And I stirred up the ground real good. And you know what? The birds couldn't find it anymore. So some of it was going to grow. Well, what he's saying here is in the first case, the seed that is sown, what it is, fell by the wayside. Now, what is the wayside? Well, what does that term mean? Fell by the wayside. You ever know any people that have fallen by the wayside? Well, the wayside happens to be the path. It's the roadway. I don't know why a man would be foolish enough to scatter seed on the road anyway, because it isn't going to grow there. But everybody has a chance. So the broadcaster, he broadcasts it everywhere. Everything is going to have a chance to hear it. So the wayside, the soil there is all trampled down. It's hard. It isn't stirred up at all. There's no chance for the seed to get down into the soil and to be covered up by the soil. And so therefore it's laying out in the open, and Satan comes and he steals it. He picks it right up. He says, "Ah, you don't want that. There's nothing to that. Just forget about that. Let's go have a good time. Let's listen to the rock music, or let's listen to something else besides that." And so Satan comes in, he whispers, he mutters, and he just discounts the word of God. They don't get it at all. It never even gets started with them. All right. Now what is the next one? He Satan catches it away. That which is sown in his heart, this is he which receives seed by the wayside. So it really never got deep into his heart at all. But he had a chance, but he let it get stolen away by Satan. Now, verse 20, but he that received the seed in stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Well, what's that word anon mean? It means immediately. Immediately. This is seed in stony places now. Amen. I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity to see somebody, to see this happen to anybody. You're nodding your head, Mike. Have you well, let me share my example, and then I want to hear from you. We were in Scotland, it's quite a number of years ago, and we were just preaching nothing. I didn't think it was anything spectacular, just the kind of word that we preach, the kingdom message, you know, the word that the kingdom is within you, the kingdom is not out there, but it's just here, it's within you, it's the seed of the kingdom. I don't know what it was we were preaching. And we were with Brother McCain, I believe it was, and that little fellowship there. And by the way, they didn't have pastors, they had three elders there in that little fellowship. It was a real nice little group. And there came a family from way up in northern Scotland that was going to be their visitor that day. And I think the name of the place was Angus or something like that. Anyway, it was way up in the northern part of Scotland. And Scotland isn't that big, by the way. But anyway, after the message, this woman, she was a big Scottish woman. I remember her. Big husky Scottish woman. She got up and she said, "Oh, Brother Mark, where have you been?" She said, "We have been waiting so long to hear this word." And I thought, wow, I didn't know it was anything that special, but wow, something hit that woman. Something hit that family. She had her husband and children there with her, but something really hit hard. Well, now I don't know what happened to them. I never saw them again. I hope that they held on to that word, and I hope they went on with that word. Tell me what happened to you, Mike.
Well, I've had a lot of time speaking to church people over the years, you know. And one thing that I really have noticed is when you're in a meeting and you're preaching, if you're really sharing the word of God and the things of the Spirit, all the people are excited. You know, they're really getting it. They're asking questions. They're really interested, and you just think, oh man, this is great, you know. And a couple of days later, it was like it's totally gone from them. You know, they don't even care or remember what was even said, you know. And so, you know, a few things that come to my mind are, I remember reading this article one time. This woman went and she was just observing these people applying for a part, like in a movie. And she said, I could tell what every one of those people was after in the interview. One person either really needed money, or this other one really wanted to be a star, or this other, you know, she could just tell it, you know. And that's kind of like it is with people. Sometimes they want to hear the word so that they can preach it themselves, but they don't really want to give up their lives and live it and whatnot, you know. So I've really experienced the same thing that you're talking about. People are really getting it when you're sharing God with them, and then it just disappears, you know.
Amen. Well, the first time I heard the kingdom message, I heard Brother Campbell first. And whenever Brother Campbell was preaching the word, I remember, man, I was really getting it. And the understanding of that message stayed with me for about a week. And I thought, man, I've got to learn to preach that way. Well, about a week later, it was gone. And suddenly my understanding of the word was back down on some carnal level. Well, I could bring a word, but it didn't have the same lift. It didn't have the same. And this happened, I don't know, he'd come about every 6 months, I think, wasn't it, Larry? About every 6 months, he'd come again. And I would really get fired up when I was listening to him. I thought, wow, this is the word. I got so excited. I thought everybody in the whole Capital District ought to hear it. Remember, we booked a great big room in a hotel one time, Brother Larry. Well, not everybody was excited about that word as we were. Amen. Another time, there was a meeting of ministers. What's that place south of Albany? What's that place called, that retreat center? Oh, it's got a Catholic name, I think it is, Larry. Do you remember that name? Anyway, all the full gospel type ministers, we all went down there, and somebody asked me to bring Brother Campbell down. So I brought Brother Campbell down there, and oh my goodness, he brought a word. I mean, the airplane left, and it flew at 30,000 feet and never came down until the very end, and it came down and landed. I mean, he was really bringing a word. And the fellow that was sort of in charge of that group, he came over to me afterward and he says, wow, where did you find him? And I thought, well, you know, I said, brother, I've got his phone number and address. If you're interested, give me a call. You know what? I never got a call. Nobody called. Oh, they liked the word. It was a great word. All right, well, back to my understanding. So probably the third time he came, I understood it. It quickened me. And I said, Lord, this time I'm not going to let go of it. I really began to press into the Lord. I just began to pray. I got down on my knees, down on my face, whatever in the spirit, at least I did. And I said, Lord, I can't lose this. I've got to have this thing. I have to understand this. And you know what? After really pressing in, I got it. Finally, it hit me and it stayed with me. And I don't think I lost it. Praise God. Well, then Brother DeCille came. And again, I got it. Brother Hoyer from Pinecrest Bible School. There was a Bible school up near Gloversville. I don't think that's in operation anymore, Larry. I don't know what's become of it. But it was a Bible school. They were training pastors, training ministry. And Brother Hoyer, who was then, I considered him an old man. I'm as old as he was now. He was quite old anyway, I thought. And he was a real scholar, highly, highly respected, understood Greek, Hebrew, all these other things. And Brother DeCille was just bringing, the kind of word he brings. And I'm sitting, we had the benches in rows. I'm sitting about three rows back. Brother Hoyer was sitting in the second row. And I'm sitting directly behind him. Well, Brother DeCille is just opening up. I mean, he opened up both barrels, everything. And I saw Brother Hoyer, his hand was kind of shaking, and he reached up and he got a hold of the pew in front of him, and he began to pull himself up. He stood right up while DeCille was preaching. And I thought, oh boy, Brother DeCille's going to get it now. He's really going to get rebuked. To my shock, Brother Hoyer, DeCille stopped as soon as he saw Brother Hoyer standing there. And of course, at this time, Brother Hoyer was considerably older than Brother DeCille. So he regarded him as an elder. He yielded to him. Brother Hoyer said, Brother DeCille, he said, I have been teaching the Word of God for 40 years. I don't know how many years he said. Maybe it was 50. He said, and this is the first time I have ever heard the Word of God preached in the way it was meant to be understood. My goodness, I thought there's a man. He doesn't know us, but he knows the Word of God. He knows the Spirit of God. And he's putting his seal of certification on that message. Brethren, we are so fortunate to have been given that message and that word of the kingdom of God. Well, let me go back here. So this is stony ground. Stony ground. Now what that means, it doesn't mean that the stones are sticking out of the ground. What it means is that the stones are underneath the surface, very close. In other words, there's only about this much soil on top of the stones. So that the seed will land and the seed will germinate. Okay? But there can be no root. There is no root. Now, the problem is not with the seed. The seed is perfectly capable of developing root. But if there is no depth of soil, now the soil, see, we're talking about the human condition, the human heart. The human heart has no depth. You know there's people that have no depth to them. Did you know that? God help them. And there's people that have depth. And they want more depth. Amen. So these are people who are not deep, and but they like the word. I mean, it really hits them good. It says here, he that received the seed in stony places The same is he that heareth the word, and immediately with joy receiveth it. Okay? Yet he hath no root in himself. Not the problem of the seed. The seed is okay. Perfect seed. Amen? But endureth for a little while. So when the sun comes out, the sun gets pretty hot. When the sun comes out, when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. No, he is offended. What is, let me look and see, offended. Do you ever look that word up in the Greek? Very interesting word. And you will understand when I tell you the word, you'll understand the English word that comes from it. Scandalazo. S-C-A-N-D-A-L-A-Z-I-O. Scandalazo. From which we get the word scandal. Right? A scandal is not a good thing. So the word means, what it means is to entice, to trip up, to stumble, to be trapped, to be defeated. So when the pressure comes, he's going to get trapped. He's going to be defeated. He isn't going to make it. What kind of pressure? All right, let's identify what we have here in this passage. There are six things. There are six things that are enemies of the kingdom of God, the word of God. Six things. Okay? We've heard the first couple of them already. The first one is the lack of understanding. It's an enemy to the word. If you don't understand, it's going to be gone. And of course that would be stolen by Satan. All right, now here we have something else. Number two, we have persecution. So if they don't have depth, what happens when persecution comes? What we mean by persecution, I looked that word up too. It means hunted down and chased. Have any of you read any of these stories of what's going on in Syria and the Middle East today? Have any of you got a hold of any of those books or magazines about what's going on? I mean, some of you brethren from Nigeria, do you hear any stories about the brethren in the northern part of Nigeria, where there is intense persecution? What's going on up there? How are the, yes. Lucy, tell us what you can hear about that. Well, how are these saints making it?
A lot of them are killed. They are killed, they get into their homes and kill them during the day, at night, and those are the kind of stories that we hear.
So they're just being harassed, aren't they?
Yeah.
Now, like in places like Syria, the government is against them. The government is watching them, spying on them, and they come and knock on their door, and they tell them, if you keep preaching, you're going to be taken to jail. And then they'll find a leader, and they'll put him in jail for a few months. And some of these places, even though their constitution says there's freedom of religion, they really don't have it. So sometimes when the tribulation comes, some of the people don't stand. Some of them, they say, well, look, if you renounce Christianity and take Islam again, and just say with your mouth that you're coming back, we won't persecute you anymore. I was reading a book that Sister Pavlina sent me, and there was a brother in Syria where they really began to go after them. And he said, he told of walking past a certain place where they had the Christians nailed up on crosses, crucified like Christ, just out there in the sun with their arms and legs nailed to the wood. Oh my goodness, I thought. And you know what? These people were praising the Lord. Tribulation. Brethren, we don't know anything yet about tribulation. We have the greatest privilege to be living free of it where we are. Well, God help them. We need to pray for those people. Tribulation, pressure, amen, persecution. Well, that's number two. That's one, two, and three. Lack of understanding, persecution, tribulation, the pressure. Okay, so there's rocks under the surface, there's no depth, they're not able to get root, and they get offended, and they stumble, they're trapped, they're defeated. All right, now down to verse 22. It says, he also that received the seed among thorns. Amen. Let's go back to verse 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. Let me ask you something. What good are thorns? Is there any good purpose in them? Weeds. I'd call it weeds, but thorns are the worst kind of weeds that you can possibly have. Amen? Thorns. He that receives seed among thorns is he that heareth the word. Uh-oh, but there's some enemies to the word. But, amen. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. What are these things? Thorns. Thorns. The cares of this world. Let me read that. By the way, this world means this age. It doesn't, okay? The age. Let me look in Luke 21. Let's see what Brother Luke has to say. By the way, these parables are in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Let's see how Luke 21 handles this. Here's Luke 21, 25. Oh, now what is it? The cares of this world. So, verse 25, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth. Okay, here we go. On the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. What's going on right now with the perplexity of nations, distress of nations? What's going on among the nations? What's going on in Israel? Gaza. War. What's going on with the, what are they called? The Holuths or the Houthis or something? What's that little country down at the bottom of the, where they're shooting their missiles off from? Yemen, isn't it? Yemen, shooting missiles, shooting drones. What's going on with Iran? supporting the rebels, supporting the Houthis. What's going on with China? Developing new missiles, waiting to get involved in a war. What's going on? Well, the biggest one, Ukraine, Russia. What's going on with nations? By the way, I heard something interesting this week. I was talking to Brother Jim down in Texas, and there's a young man from Sandy Gerber's grandson. Yeah, anyway, he's in one of the military bases in Oklahoma. And they went down there to visit the fellowship down there. And he was sharing with some of the brethren that some very high-ranking generals have been coming and giving this message to the troops. And apparently they're giving this to the troops, to the U.S. troops everywhere. And that their prediction is that by the year 2025, they expect the U.S. to be at war with Russia. That is the prediction that's going on among the military troops here in America. It's being spread by the highest ranking generals who are anticipating this. Now, brethren, we need to know these things, but we need to not let these things disturb us. Amen. This is very, to be in the middle of war is very grievous. We hear from time to time, we hear from Ukraine. We hear Brother Max, apparently they're doing surgery on his hand and they want to get ready to send him back to the front. But the good news is they're not going to send him back to the front. They're going to teach him how to work the controls on sending these drones out. So he won't be where they'll be actually shooting at him. But this is intense warfare. Brethren, I want to tell you, there are thousands of men who are dying these days. Not just 10 or 20, thousands again. It reminds me of the statistics that we heard from World War I and World War II. We thought, well, they were just in the trenches. They were just shooting at each other. No, this is a kind of warfare that we're coming into today, a type of warfare that the world has never, ever seen. Where warfare, in fact, I heard that they were recruiting teenagers that know how to work these games, because that's the way they're going to be working these drones and missiles. If you're good at manipulating these what do they call these games?
Computer games.
What is it?
Computer games.
Computer games, yeah. Anyway, this is the kind of war we're looking to. But you know what? It's going to cause a lot of damage. I've seen pictures of some of these Ukrainian cities that used to have people living in them. Great, big, tall, communist-era apartment buildings, 6, 8, 10 stories high, all the windows blown out of them, completely vacant. Nobody can live there. This is what the war is doing to the Crimea, and the east, especially the eastern part of Ukraine. And Russia is not going to be satisfied with Ukraine, even if they can get it. They want their old Soviet Union back, and that includes Poland. Dear Poland has been tossed back and forth between nations, between Germany. Hearts failing them for fear. God, we're not going to give in to fear. We listen to these things, but it's going on in our world today. What else? Perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, demonstrations, people demonstrating in front of the White House, free Palestine, carrying their, well, I won't comment. The sea and the waves roaring. We're not into summer yet. When we get into summer, we're going to see more and more of this, and they're going to get violent, brethren. When we get closer and closer to the time of election, you're going to see a lot of violence. And depending on who gets in, you're going to see more violence. You know, brethren, we're just almost on the verge of civil war. But it's not south versus north. It's not this region versus that region. It's in the midst of all the people. So hearts failing, looking for those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. The powers of heaven shall be shaken. What's that verse in, let me read it in math, in Revelation 12. I've got it right here in my fingers. Amen. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels. War in heaven, brethren, and prevailed not. The devil prevailed not. Neither was there found any more space, place found any more in heaven. And he's cast out. He's cast out of heaven. Brethren, that means he's cast out of the spiritual realm and come down into the natural realm. But we're going to be in a spiritual realm, aren't we? We're not going to have our soul and our love down here in the natural realm. Well, I'm thinking of the power of the word. Was it this morning or yesterday? You know, we've got these smartphones now. I never had one before, but these things give you the news. I don't have a television to give news. I don't want to hear it. They just mumble on and on and on with their opinions. But with the little thing on the cell phone, we can just get the headlines. And I clicked on one that had something to do with the Super Bowl. Last Sunday was the so-called Super Bowl. And there was a picture of a woman standing in the front, and way back behind one side of the stadium, brethren, I couldn't believe the size of that stadium. There must have been thousands of people in that Super Bowl stadium. And this woman was standing right in the middle. She had a microphone in her hand, and she was giving her word to those thousands and thousands of people. And I was thinking, these people are here worshiping. She's become their god, goddess. Oh, that wasn't the Super Bowl? Well, they did another one at the Super Bowl. Rita's correcting me. It was a Taylor Swift concert. But the auditorium was just as big. 96,000, Rita tells me. 96,000. I can't imagine 100,000 people. But what are they feeding on? Brethren, they're feeding on the world. You know, in many homes, you mention these names of these stars. Little children, they know what you're talking about. They know those names. Oh, God help us. God help us. Super Bowl is another one. Thousands of people come to worship. And when it's over, they have a parade, and people get their guns out and start shooting. Oh, the mega church. What's his name down there in Texas? Osteen. Again, thousands of people. And a man/woman comes in with a gun and starts shooting. Well, he's got armed guards that are roaming about, off-duty police officers that come in with their guns. And these police officers pulled their guns out and shot this, I don't know whether it was a woman or a man, it was half and half. It's one, somebody that wanted to be something else. So I don't know whether to call it a him or a her. They pulled the gun out and shot her right down. I'll call it a her. That's what they wanted to be, I guess. They pulled the guns out and shot her right there in church. My goodness gracious. Are we going to depend on armed guards, brethren, to keep the enemy away from us? What kind of word do we have? Do we not have the word of faith? My goodness, if I have to hire armed guards to keep the devil away, I'm not sure I'm preaching the right word. Well, God help us. Let's go on. Thorns. The cares of this age, anxiety of what's happening at the close of this age. There are things happening in our generation that I don't think have been seen in other generations. I have to think about, you know, I was born at the beginning of World War II, but I don't remember much of it. But I have to think, if there was a lot of television, there wasn't. Nobody had a television in those days. But we heard the people of Germany, what must their life have been like? The Christians that were there, what must their life have been like? They must have known what was going on. Anxiety over the things that were happening. These wars, brethren, Jesus said there shall be wars and rumors of wars, but it's not the end yet. Amen. All right, so deceitfulness of riches. What is the deceitfulness of riches? What is that all about? Who could tell me what the deceitfulness of riches is all about? What's deceitful about riches? Isn't it a good thing to have? Well, Joel Osteen preaches that God wants us all to be rich. That's deceitful, isn't it? But why be rich? Why be rich? Why build up a reserve of funds and whatever it is? Why? Security. Well, if I have enough, that means I'll never run out. That means no matter what happens, I'll have a good reserve. I'll have a good store. Isn't this what life insurance is all about? Just in case something happens, they use the term security. I remember this one salesman come around, said, you can be secure. Secure is the way he said it. Have security. Well, he's really preaching security. The deceitfulness of riches. Come on, is somebody here that believes that we have security and riches? Where did I read in Revelation that they'd be throwing their money, their gold and their silver in the streets, that it would be worthless? Inflation. You folks in Nigeria, do you have inflation? Is it pretty wild? Is it pretty terrible? You're making a hand signal there, Lucy. Tell me what it is. How much inflation do you have?
There's a lot of inflation in Nigeria. The price of
goods.
The price of goods in the last 1 year.
How much is it?
They have tripled or thereabout.
Tripled. So yes. 300% inflation.
Yeah, the price of fuel has gone
more than 100%.
I'm saying triple because we left Nigeria. It was 160. Now it's like 700 per liter.
Some places are more than that.
So it's a lot of inflation.
So if you have 100 naira, which is probably worth nothing.
100 naira is useless. But
at the end of the year, it's worth what, about 30?
Less than that.
Brother Mark, I live in Nigeria with my family. Our naira has no more value. Our currency, as of today, just for 1,500 and something. That's $1. It's now 500. And I remember was it 1990 or when Brother Sil came at University of Port Harcourt? He said we would carry a wheelbarrow load of naira to the market. I will come back with a cell phone bag full of whatever I wanted to buy. So this is the fulfillment. I was talking to my brethren, the fulfillment of the prophecy that we had in the 90s by Brother Dusie has come to pass in Nigeria.
Amen. Well, inflation eats away. Moth and rust and inflation eat away at what you've got. When there's wild inflation, somewhere in South America, it's going worse than that. I forget what country it is. It's going worse than that. When a man gets paid, he runs immediately to the store, immediately to buy, because if he waits till tomorrow, his money is worth much less tomorrow. In Germany, before World War II, and this is partly how Hitler came into power, World War II, what they called the Deutschmark. The Deutschmark became worth almost nothing. There was a story that I know, and I've heard it several times, so I have to believe it's true. A man put his money, he put a great pile of Deutschmarks in a wheelbarrow, and he wheeled it to the store, and he left the wheelbarrow outside, and he went into the store to buy. When he came out, the money was dumped on the ground, but the wheelbarrow was stolen. It was worth more than that pile of money. Have you heard this story? I've heard it several times. It must be true. I can't prove it. All right, so the deceitfulness of riches, they won't save you. All right. What else? Oh, one more thing. We're going to have to go we're going to have to go to Brother Mark. Matthew Mark. Mark has another thing here that is not included in those first ones. Mark chapter 4, if we can find this in Mark. Mark 4, 19. Let me find verse 19. Here we are. So here Mark says, "And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." So there's one more enemy to the message. There's one more enemy to the word, and that is the lust of other things. Now, when you look that word lust up in the word study, what this word lust is, it really means the lust of forbidden things, things that you're not supposed to have. But it doesn't just mean that, lust of other things. Well, I don't, you know, a man can say, I don't care for riches, I don't care for this, I don't care for that, but I'm going to have, maybe he's going to have a lot of snowmobiles. And he's going to have, well, we, you people in the South, you don't know what I mean by snowmobiles. These are these big machines that they sit on and they ride them all over in the snow and they go everywhere on trails. And oh my goodness, they're very expensive, by the way. I drive by a house on the way to Lowellville and I think there's in the yard, I think there's about 8 or 10 of them out there. Great big machines. And I'm thinking, my goodness, what? Oh, I thought Rita was telling me how many there really were there. Okay. Well, I'm going to have the boat. You know, I'm the fisherman. Boy, that's going to be my thing. I'm the great hunter. I'm going to be out there every weekend. I'm going to be here. I'm the sports guy, you know. I'm going to be at every game that they've got. You know, the lust of other things, what are they? I'll never forget. Brother Moses Newcomb, he's going to be with the Lord. He was about my age when I first went up there. I thought, well, praise the Lord. Here's a man that's really a kind of a soulmate, you know, in the kingdom of God. Well, after we left, went somewhere else, I got a call from him one day, and I said, Mike, how you doing? He said, oh, Brother Mark. He said, I'm making some changes. I said, what are they, Mike? He said, well, I gave up the Lions Club. I said, oh? I said, well, they do a lot of good things. No, he said, has nothing to do with the kingdom of God, just taking my time. He said, I gave up the fire department too. He was a volunteer fireman. Well, it's nice to have volunteer firemen, you know, in a small town. Something happens, they bring the fire truck out and try to put the fire out in your house, and nothing wrong with it. But he said, I'm giving it up. I said, why? He said, nothing to do with the kingdom of God. It's not the kingdom, it's taking my time. I just want to focus on the kingdom of God. Well, about 3 years later, the brother got a cancer and he died. And I thought, praise God, he's going in as a son of God. He's not distracted by any of these things. He's going to go for the hundredfold. What is the hundredfold? Let's go back to Matthew 13 here and see what that hundredfold is all about. Well, before I do, let me look at Matthew 6. There's a couple of verses here in Matthew 6 that I think would be good to look at here. Lusting for things, other things. Amen. Matthew 6:32. Here we are. He says, take no thought, 31, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Who are the Gentiles? Come on, brethren, spiritual language here. I imagine every one of us here is in the natural flesh. We're all natural Gentiles. Has anybody here got Jewish blood in you? No, I didn't think so. We're Gentiles, but we're not Gentiles. Amen? Gentiles mean the people of the world. When it says the outer court will be trampled by the Gentiles, it means the people of the world who are not involved in the kingdom of God. The unredeemed. There we go, Rita. Amen. After all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Amen. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, when you go to the Lord with your list of needs, Lord, I need this, Lord, I need that. Do you know that he knew you needed that before you ever said anything? And he was probably in the process of bringing it to you. But I forgot to ask. It's all right. He knew you needed it. Amen? Let me go to 1 Corinthians. There's a little verse there I want to pick up too before we finish. 1 Corinthians. I like this one. 1 Corinthians 3. And starting verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, comma, wood, hay, stubble. By the way, that wood, hay, stubble is that lust of other things that we get involved in our life. May not be sin, but what does it have to do with the kingdom of God? It's going to keep you from the hundredfold. You'll be 60-fold, but your 30-fold will be wood, hay, and stubble, or maybe worse. All right, let's go on. Every man's work shall be manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. Oh, the fire is going to test it. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. You know, when I first had read this years ago, I had this imagination in my mind that I come before the Lord, and he says, well, what do you got to show for, son? And I hold my hands out like this, and in my hands are all the things I've done. He said, well, let's put the fire to it. He brings this little torch, wood, hay, and stubble, all burned up. No, I want to come with gold and silver, amen, the things of the kingdom. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a work. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Amen. So let's go to back to Matthew 13, and I'm going to finish this little portion here. And that will be in verse. Here we are. So he also that received the seed among thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and Mark adds, and the lust of other things, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. So in other words, there's only room for so much to grow. If the plot is full of thorns and weeds, there's not much room for the good seed to grow. There's a limit to how big the plot is. Amen. And he that received the seed in good ground. Oh, here we are. We got something good here. Is he that heareth the word and understands it, which also bears fruit. Okay, it's not just hearing and understanding, it's bearing fruit too. Okay? And bringeth forth some 100, some 60, some 30. Some 30-fold. Amen. Now in Mark, it's very interesting, and maybe you can comment and tell me why it's different in Mark. But in Mark, chapter 4, verse 20, in Mark it says, And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hearing the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100. So Mark starts at 60 or 30, goes up to 100. Matthew starts at 100 and goes down to 30. So I think Matthew seems to be, he remembered it a little differently. He's optimistic. You're going to start off at 100. Mark starts at 30 and he works up to 100. How many of you want to be 100-fold sons of God? Amen. Yes, I want to be too. So what is this? And I'll just read one verse and maybe we'll get there next time. The field is the world, and the good seed are the sons, the words in King James says children, the sons of the kingdom. The son, the phrase should be written, the sons of the kingdom. Now I'm going to say the hundredfold are the sons of the kingdom. What is a 30-fold? Do you want to be a 30-fold Christian? Well, if we're going to be 100-fold, we're going to have to start getting rid of some weeds. Can't let them grow. Can't let the seed be stolen. I think I'll quit at this point. And let me turn the recorder off for now.